Last week we began a mini-series on prayer and entitled, Why Pray? And last week we had a look at the question of why pray when God knows everything? And we tried to tackle that issue. If you missed that talk, it is available on our church website and you can download it for free. It's not much in this life that's free today, but you can have our sermons for free. But I don't know what you think about when you think of prayer. I've had people tell me things like, I wish I could pray more. Every time I close my eyes in prayer, I end up falling asleep. Another person said to me, when I pray, I find my mind wandering to everything else, and I don't pray like I should. Still another has said to me, I've been praying for ages for God to sort out my problems, and it's as if my prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. Where is God? Why doesn't he answer my prayers? Why doesn't he listen to me? Others have said, I've had no result from my prayers. I'm now looking to other sources. Perhaps you can relate to one or more of those comments. Perhaps you can add your own comment to that about prayer. And I think for most of us, prayer is something that we all struggle with. As Christians, we know we should do it, and we often feel guilty when we don't, but when we sit down to pray, we don't really pray like we should. Now, last week we learnt why we should pray when God knows everything. Next week we're going to learn why pray when I don't always know what to pray for. Today we're going to have a look at why pray when praying is so hard. You see, it is important that we pray, but praying is not easy. In fact, sometimes it seems even unnatural to have to pray to God. So why even bother? Well, as we tackle the subject this morning, I want to have a look at two biblical characters that struggled with prayer before having a look at some other things that hinder our prayer life before lastly asking the question, why then should we continue in prayer even though it is difficult? So let's have a look at the first point this morning. Is praying hard or is it just me? In my prayer life, I do struggle with prayer. I'm being honest and upfront with you folk, and I do struggle with prayer. I find praying hard. I find that everything else can be used to defend why I am not praying. Oh, well, they needed me, so I ran off there. Oh, I was in the middle of prayer, but this happened and I needed to attend to that. For me, prayer is difficult. But I have chatted with some of you folk, and a number of you have also expressed to me that praying is not easy, it's hard, it's something difficult that we all struggle with. And so it's not long before the eyelids of our closed eyes in prayer become so heavy that we end up sleeping. Even the greats in this world, those great Christian men that we often read about, who spent lots of time in prayer, many of them struggled with prayer. Sometimes prayer seems like that phone line between us and God has been ripped out, and God is either not there or not listening. Does that make me a bad Christian? Because, after all, Christians should pray. Now, there are many accounts of people in the Bible who struggled with prayer, and perhaps one example that comes to mind is, remember when Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, went off into the Garden of Gethsemane and told his disciples, stay awake and pray so that you are not overcome. And Jesus then went a few steps further on and spent an hour or so in prayer and returned to his disciples. And what were his disciples doing? Sleeping. And this didn't just happen once. It happened twice, even three times, that the disciples struggled with their prayer. Two Bible characters that I want to pick up on this morning are obviously from the two references that we've read, from Job and Paul himself, both godly men, both people who would have called themselves Christians, but both of whom struggled in their prayer life. One felt that God was not to be found. The other felt that God was not answering. And I think it would be helpful for us, and perhaps even encouraging, to have a look at each of these two characters. So the two Bible examples that I want to look at this morning. Jared, won't you just push that on for me, please? It doesn't. Oh, there we go. Thanks. The first example is, it seems that God does not hear my prayers. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You're praying, and it seems that God does not hear your prayers. The man Job, who many of you are familiar with, was a man who was a godly and upright man. Job chapter 1 and verse 1 says that Job was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Job was what we would probably call a model Christian. Yet even a man like this struggled in his prayers. If you're familiar with the story of Job, you will realize that Job, although he was a godly man, although he had not done anything to upset God, Satan came in and threw a whole bunch of really traumatic events on his life. First, he lost everything that he owned. Then he lost all 7 or 8 of his children that he had. And Job is now crying out to God. He's got 3 friends who come and speak to him, who actually don't really help him much. And Job says, as he prays to God, as he talks to his friends, in Job 23 and verse 2, "Even today my complaint is bitter. God's hand is heavy in spite of my groaning." Groaning is perhaps Job's way of saying, "I was praying to God." Notice what Job continues to say in verse 2. "If only I knew where to find him." Jump down to verse 8 of chapter 23. "But if I go to the east, he," God, "is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him." Job was in the midst of probably the most traumatic series of events that could ever happen to anybody. And he felt that God was nowhere to be found. He felt that he was groaning to God. He was in anguish, crying out to the Lord. But for Job, it seemed that God was not there. Friends, sometimes in our prayer lives, our prayers just seem to bounce off the ceiling. At every corner in life, it seems that God is really not interested in our well-being. It seems to us that prayer is really not the way to go. And so slowly but surely, our prayer life fades into the background. We might have a small prayer that we recite each evening as we climb into bed, or as we get up in the morning. But that is about as far as sometimes our prayer life goes. Yet, as we will see in a moment, Job did not give up praying. But let's have a look at another biblical example. And if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, a passage that was read. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is the second Bible example here, that it seems that God doesn't answer my prayers. Computers are not wanting to work today. Thanks, Jay. Sometimes it seems as if our prayers fall on deaf ears. Other times it feels like God is just not interested in us and refuses almost to answer our prayers in the way that we would like him to. And so Paul, in his second letter to Corinthians, in chapter 12 and verse 7, tells us this: "A thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I think in terms of New Testament characters, Paul is perhaps one of those who we all wish we could be like. A true godly man who lived for Christ and seemed to do everything right. Paul prays to God to remove whatever the struggle was, whatever this thorn in the flesh was, and commentators are at loggerheads as to what it is. But whatever that struggle was that Paul was praying to God to remove it, Paul didn't get the answer that he wanted. In fact, he didn't just pray this once and give up. He prayed it 3 times. And notice the words here. He pleaded with God. Friends, sometimes when we pray to God, we don't always get the answers that we would like. And so what happens is that we doubt the effectiveness of our prayers. We find someone who's perhaps more godly than ourselves, and we ask them to pray for us. And then we look for somebody else to pray for us. Because, hey, God doesn't seem to hear me. He's not answering my prayer. But in one sense, God did answer Paul's prayer. God did respond to what Paul prayed. But did Paul give up praying? No. He continued to pray. Now, before we have a look at how Paul and Job responded to their difficult hardships that they were facing, especially in their prayer lives, let's just throw out into the equation some more things that cause us to struggle in our prayers. So secondly, what else makes praying hard? I think tied in with the 2 examples that we've just looked at of Job and of Paul, we have the idea of only speaking to God when we want something. Do you know what I'm saying? We ask God for things, and that's actually what our prayers consist of. So we come to God with a whole long shopping list of things that we want to bring to God. And in a way, that is not wrong. God does say to us, you do not have because you do not ask. So God wants us to ask Him for the things and the concerns and the worries in our lives and the things that we need. But if our prayers are only focused on asking for God for things, only focused on praying for my family, only focused on praying for my little world that I find myself in, only focused on asking God to fix things in my life, we are missing the boat when it comes to praying. One commentator said, our prayers are selfish prayers. All we ever do is pray for ourselves, pray for our family, pray for our circumstances. And we almost expect God to change things in other people's lives so that ours might become better. Lord, please deal with so-and-so who are really annoying and irritate me. Fix them up and make them a right kind of person. You ever prayed a prayer like that? Lord, please would you allow me to get this promotion so that I can provide more for my family? And in a way, there's nothing wrong with those prayers. But sometimes that's all we pray. Our prayers have little regard for God working in our lives. Perhaps the better prayer when that person is annoying and irritating you is to say, Lord, please would you work in my life and perhaps change me so that I'm not irritating to that person. Help me to tolerate that person. Help me to live with that person. And instead of praying for other people to change, perhaps our prayers need to focus on us changing. Secondly, I think our prayers should reflect worship of God. Balanced prayers, in a way. Do we ever praise God when we pray to Him? Do we ever thank Him for His Son? Do we ever thank Him for the blessings that we have? All of us living here at the moment have a roof over our head. Do we ever thank God for that? Do we ever worship God for what He's done for us on the cross? See, friends, I think our prayers need to be balanced. And next week we're going to pick up on that. How do we pray prayers that God wants us to pray? See, if our prayers are only ever about asking God for things, our prayer life will become lax. Especially when we pray to God only when we have something that we need or some difficulty in our life. And when we don't get an answer the way we want an answer, well, then we start questioning, is prayer worthwhile? Should I pray? Should I continue in this? But of course, there's other things that crawl into our lives as well that affect our prayer life. One of them could be tiredness. Praying when you're crawling into bed, exhausted, last thing in the night, is not always a helpful thing. Because if you're anything like me, you start off in prayer and wake up the next morning and go, Amen. Friends, rather try and find a time in the day when you are not tired and spend time in prayer. Perhaps time is a factor, and that influences our prayer life. Well, I haven't got time now. I'm running late this morning. Isn't it amazing how when we come to a time of prayer, everything seems to interrupt our prayer? So the phone rings. What do? We immediately jump up, answer the phone, have a long conversation, and then get engrossed in something else, and our prayers get forgotten. Let me throw this out to you. If you were watching a movie and the phone rang, what would you do? Perhaps you'd pause the movie and answer the phone. But as soon as you put the phone down again, you're back at the movie. Perhaps like we do sometimes, we actually take the phone off the hook so as not to disturb our movie. Perhaps we need to start doing that when we pray. I remember as a child, when it came to exam time, my room was always the cleanest and the tidiest that it was at any other time of the year. Why? Well, because anything else was more important than studying. I'd rather clean my room, which I hated doing, than study. And perhaps sometimes our prayers are like that as well. We'd rather wash the dishes, which we don't like doing. I'd rather do the ironing than spend time in prayer. Can you see how things can hinder our prayer life? But I think perhaps, and there are many more examples that we could go into, but I think perhaps one of the biggest reasons that affects our prayer life is the issue of sin. Sin, as you know, separates us from God. And so, if we are separated from God, that will naturally affect our prayer life. If we have some hidden sin in our lives, how can we expect to have a great prayer life? And by hidden sin, I mean that sin that you do when nobody else is around, that nobody else knows of. That you saying, it's just one area of my life, God won't mind. How can we hope to draw close to God when we have this keeping areas of our life from Him? Sin will affect our praying. So perhaps sometimes we need to look in our own lives and say, am I harboring sin in my life? Is there something that I'm not giving to God like I should? Asking God to forgive us of our sin. Trusting in God to work in our lives. Perhaps it's issues with other people, and sometimes sin leads to all sorts of things, anger and whatever else, and we start gossiping about other people. If we've got issues with other people, how are we going to have a great prayer life? As the Lord says to us, if you have an issue with your neighbor, go and sort that out and then come to me. But again, next week, we're going to pick up on that. How should we pray? So then, as we close off this morning, our third point, why should we pray? Job and Paul both faced difficulties in their life, but neither of them stopped praying. Notice the conclusions that both of them came to, and perhaps it would be helpful to turn back to Job and to have a look there at what Job does. Remember, he's just said that it seems like wherever he turns, he cannot find God, and it seems like God is not interested in his life at all. But Job says this in verse 11 and 12 of chapter 23. And I think this is pretty key. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept his way without turning aside. I have not departed from the commands of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. Wow, what a statement. Remember that Job has lost everything that he owned, and he owned a lot. Job has lost his entire family except for his wife. And yet he prays, Lord, I've stayed true to you all the time. In fact, I value your words more than I value the food in my stomach. Yet Job even says that it seems like God hasn't heard his prayers. But Job has looked in at his own life. He's realized that he has sinned. He's asked God to forgive him of his sins. And he follows God closely. You see, friends, when our lives are in tune with God, even then praying can be hard. But should we give up? Not at all. Job didn't. Job continued to pray. So notice what Job's conclusion is, verse 10. But he knows, God knows the way I talk when he has tested me. I shall come forth as gold. Now, those of you who are familiar with the mining industry will know that when the miners go down into the mine and they bring up the rock, that rock then gets thrown into a huge melting pot, and the rock is melted away and evaporates or whatever happens to it, but the gold is melted out. And Job is saying that through all of this, God is trying to pull out the pure me out of all the deformities and the struggles around me. He's trying to make me into a pure piece of gold. And that's what Job says in this middle of all his struggles, in the difficulties he's facing, even when it seems to him that God is nowhere to be found. Job says, I understand that God is working in my life to make me more like he wants me to be. And so verse 17, yet I am not silenced. In other words, I will not stop praying through the darkness, the thick darkness that covers my face. Notice Paul, and if you jump back to 2 Corinthians, Paul, in praying to God and not getting the answer that he wants from God, has this to say in chapter 12, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. It's exactly the same thing that Job was saying, just in a different way. God sometimes uses those struggles, those difficult areas in our life, to keep us close to Him. He works through those areas that we really struggle in, because that's where God's glory is found. And that's what Paul recognizes. Even when Paul's prayers were not answered in the way Paul wanted them to, by the removing of that thorn in the flesh, he realized, hey, God is working in my life. And so he goes on to say in verse 10, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Sometimes God brings us to a point in our lives where we can do nothing else but rely on Him. And that, friends, is when God works. Yes, praying is difficult. Yes, we don't always get the answers that we want. Yes, sometimes it seems like God is not interested in our lives. But both Job and Paul realized that God is working in our lives nonetheless. Sometimes our lack of prayer life is our own fault because of sin in our lives, because of other issues that creep in and affect our prayer life. But if we have a right relationship with the Lord, our prayer life will still be difficult. But let's not stop praying. Let's continue to pray. And let's remember that through everything, God works for His glory. So friends, don't stop praying. Don't give up on your prayers because they're not answered in the way that you want them answered. Don't push prayer off as something that we do when there's nothing else to do, or perhaps as a crutch. Pray. Endure hardship and pray. Now next week, God willing, we're going to look at, well, what do we pray? So do come along and join us there. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do come before You this morning and we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for these two great biblical examples of Job and Paul, who, despite the difficulties that they faced in their prayer life, continued to draw close to You. And Lord, we know that we really struggle in our prayer life, and we ask that You would forgive us for that. But Lord, we pray that You would help us to make time, to spend time with You in prayer. And even Lord, when it seems like nothing's happening in our lives, despite our pleading and our groaning to You, we know, Lord, that You are working in our lives. So Lord, keep us praying. And we ask this in Your name. Amen.